Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, exciting to do the Daf Yomi from Masechet Sukkah. It's good to be back with everybody here. And I wanted to just give a brief introduction to Masechet Sukkah. We know the pasuk says, "Basukos teishvu shivas yamim kol ezrach b'Yisrael yishvu besukos lemani didur hasichem ki besukos ushaftis b'Yisrael Yisrael b'otzis yusam retzem ani Hashem elokeichem." So from this pasuk, it tells us that every person should for 7 days sit in a sukkos. Because you should know that in Sukkos I took you out of Mitzrayim and I am your Shem, your God. There's going to be a question, what does it mean? What does it mean that the Sukkos, right? Is the Sukkos going to be Sukkos Mamish or is it going to be the clouds of glory? Is it going to be the Anani HaKavod? That's the whole Shaila with regards to what are we commemorating with? Remember the Sukkah. That is the Machlokes that the Gemara is going to discuss as well. But it's important to note that when it comes to Masechet Sukkah, there are five brakim, and each one has it's very simple. Like each one has a different thing that discusses. In the first parak, we're going to discuss the concept of Sukkah, different halachas with the structure and the dimensions, all those type of halachas. The second parak is going to discuss the different parameters of the mitzvah of living in the sukkah and the obligations to dwell in the sukkah. The third parak is going to define the dalet minim, and the fourth parak is going to talk about the relationship between mitzvahs of yomtiv in the Beis HaMikdash and those point from outside the Beis HaMikdash, halachas of sukkahs, halacha l'Moshe Messina in the fourth parak. And the fifth parak, we're going to discuss the celebration and the chag that they used to do in the sukkahs in the Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvah of being mesameach and specifically the karbanos of sukkahs. There are other halachas that discuss yomtiv. That's going to be mesachas beisa, mesachas chagiga, the korban chagiga. But primarily, those are the five prakim that are going to be discussed in Masechet Sukkah. The question you have to ask when it comes to a sukkah is: what is the minimum size of a shir of a sukkah? What's the maximum size of a sukkah? Is any type of structure going to be used as a sukkah? And these are all questions we have to discuss. Any number of walls? What material it can be? How does one build a sukkah? All these questions are going to be discussed right now in the first parak. Just a few background points that we mentioned, and we know that the schach is the al shem schach nikra sukkah, the famous Rashi, that the schach is one of the most important parts of the sukkah, creates the sukkah, and so there's going to be halachas that we're going to discuss with regards to the schach. The schach needs to be pure. The schach has to cover most of the area of the sukkah, and then we have dofen akuma. Dofen akuma is literally a bent wall, and that is where telling you that if a wall is less than 4 amos and it's coming across, we're going to discuss the exact details how that work. Then it's going to be considered creating the val tzchak is going to be mamshich the area of separation. That is halacha of dofen akuma. Then we're going to have tasev elumina asoy that you can only if you have you can't use something that was already made. How does that applies in terms of sukkah? Is that if a sukkah was puzzle. You can't just fix the one little thing and then say the sukkah is now good. Rather, you have to rebuild it in a manner that's going to make it permissible, make it mutter to now use. And then we have the concept when it comes to the walls of the sukkah. This actually should remind you some of the concepts with regards to Erevin. It's a nice background to have Maseches Erevin because we have Lavud, which came up a lot in Erevin 3 Tfachim, and also is good Asik Mechitzta and good Achas Mechitzta, that the walls go upwards, the walls go downward. Again, we'll discuss all these details much more when we get to them. And also Pisikra Yor Vesosim, that halacha came up a lot in Maseches Erevin. But the edge of the roof literally goes downwards. Again, we're going to discuss that more on Yudches, Yutes over there in the Gemara later on. But these are all concepts you should be familiar with before we actually get started in Masechet Sukkah. So with that, I think we're ready to start. Sukkah, again, is the idea of living in the Sukkah. And the very first Mishnah over here is going to discuss the shir, how big and how small, what's the minimum, maximum shir a sukkah can be to be a valid sukkah, and also the walls of the sukkah. So let's start it. So the Mishnah says, sukkah shehi gavol lamala me'esrim amma. If you have a sukkah that the schach is above 20 amas, so how much is an amma? An amma is around, it's machlokes. We have the shir chazanish, you have the shir grachnoe. It's around anywhere from 1.5 to 2 feet roughly. So we're talking anywhere between 30 feet and 40 feet would be roughly the 20 amos that we're discussing here, which is still very tall. I've been in sukkahs that seem to get very close to that, but that is still very, very high. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. If it's above 20 amos high, the schach is above 20 amos high, it is going to be puzzled. It's going to be invalid. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, however, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's valid. The Gemara is going to discuss the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Tanakhama. And if a sukkah is not at least 10 tefachim high. Again, we're going to do this a little bit more later in Dalet Hey. We're going to discuss this, that if it's not 10 tefachim high, vish ein shel shelosh tefanos, if it doesn't have three walls, a minimum of three walls, again, we're going to qualify all of this, v'shechamasa meruba metzilasa, or if the sunny area has more area in the sukkah than the shaded area, meaning that the sukkah has to be kosher, it has to be enough schach that it's blocking out more sunlight than it's allowing in. That is a halacha of the schach that it must allow that. We're going to discuss this. Psula, all these cases, they are going to be invalid. Now, it's important to note that according to many Rishonim, we'll just go then, the Ritva explains that Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with the last three halachas that we mentioned. That only with regards to the shear of the height does he say it can be above 20 amos, but if you don't have a minimum of 10 tefachim, or if you don't have the three walls, or if you have more sunny area than a shaded area, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, at least according to the Ritva. Again, others disagree, but it's nice what the Ritva explains, that he would agree that that's also possible. Okay, so now the Gemara just wants to compare, this will remind us a little bit of Maseches Erevin. The Gemara wants to compare the Lashonos that we use over here in Maseches Sukkah to the Mishnah in Erevin. What is the difference? Tanas, and when we learn in the Mishnah in Erevin, the Mishnah in Erevin over there, right, begin also, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, says, Mavoi Shigavoh Me'esrim Amma. If you have a mavoi which is higher than 20 amos, just to remind ourselves what is in the case of the mavoi, in the times of the Mishnayos, in the times of the Gemara, they had houses that were built around an open area, and they were surrounded on three sides, and this open area would be called a mavoi, and then that area would then lead to a Rishus Harabim. So then we mentioned that you needed two things to permit carrying in this area. You needed first the Shitvei Muvaos, that you needed to have the Shituv come together. Shituvei Muvaos, that you'd have together, that people have a food or whatever it is, come together and allow to carry in that area, therefore making it Rishus Yachid, making it, again, this is all Midarabana, Midaraisa, you're allowed to carry in this area. So you have a shared food that everybody would share, there would a small amount of something to the fund, and therefore that would make it into a Rishus Yachid, into just a single area. And then there was another, it was the Heker, was the Lechi or the Korah. If you needed a Lechi, which is the side post, it's vertically the side of the Mavoi, or you have a Korah, which is going to be horizontally on top of it. So the Mishnah in Erevin is teaching you that if you have a Korah, which is above 20 amos, then the Mishnah says, Esrim Amma Yima'it, that you have to lower the Korah to less than 20 amos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says also over there, Lashitaso, he's following his opinion over here, that you would not need to above 20 amos is also okay. So now the Gemara is bothered by the Lashonos, bothered by what the language that the Gemara, that the Mishnah uses. Maishna Gabe Sukkah, the Tanai Psula. When it comes to Sukkah, why does the Tan of our Mishnah use the Lashon Psula, like a blanket? It is invalid, it is puzzle. Umaishna Gabe Mavoi, the Tanai Kanta. Whereas, when we discuss a Mavoi, the Mishnah tells you that you should lower it. Why is the Mishnah telling you what to do? It's telling you how to fix it with regards to a Mavoi, and with regards to a Sukkah, it's telling you just blanketly, it's puzzle. So the Gemara says an interesting answer. The Gemara says, Sukkah de'oraisa, that the psul, the invalidation of a Sukkah, is in fact a de'oraisa, it's from the Torah. And therefore, we're going to use the Lashon Tana Psula. Tana can use the Lashon of invalidating. And Rashi says that it's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. The Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai tells you that less than 20 Amos, more than 20 Amos rather, is going to be Pasul. And therefore, the Tana is using a Lashon which is already coming from an earlier source of the Torah. So you just tell you the Lashon of the, it's invalid. Because it's invalid, implying that the Sukkah was already invalid mid oraisa from an earlier source from Akash Baruch Hu. However, Mavoi, which is only Dirabanan, it's only Midirabanan, meaning we just pointed out that you're allowed to carry mid oraisa in a closed Mavoi, even without a Korah on its fourth side, Tana Takanta. So therefore the Tana can tell you how to fix it. Because there is no pre-existing Isser, Dirabanan or Masak in it. So therefore they use the Lashon of the Mishnah that how to fix it. So that's one answer. And we're now suggesting another answer. V'ibayis ima. We could suggest another answer. B'doraisa name tani takanta, with regards to a thing that's doraisa. Also, the Mishnah should have told us a way to fix it. So we weren't answering this answer about the fact that the Torah came, the fact that the halacha was halacha, which was at first, nothing to do with that. Rather, miu sukkah, dinafishin mile. Sukkah has a lot of halachas over here. Pasuk v'tanei psula, so we're just going to say that it's invalid. Because how is our Mishnah going to go out of its way to teach you each halacha? If it's less than 20 amos, you have to lower it. If it's not 10 tefachim, you have to raise it. If it doesn't have three walls, you have to make a third wall. All of these halachas, it would take a long time. The Mishnah is supposed to be, as Rashi points out, we say in Maseches Pesach, in the beginning of Pesachim, Yishana Adam LaTalmido Derech Tzara. You should speak in a lashon which is concise and quick, so they can understand it. So therefore, each one you would have to state out of your way to say how to fix it. Then it's going to be marach and make the Mishnah double the length. We don't want to do that. So therefore, we just say psula. However, mavid, lo nafish mila. Well, of course, the mavid, there's only one halacha over there. That it's too high. So then, if that's the only halacha, therefore we can mention tana tekanta. We can mention that you can fix it because that's all you have to do. The Mishnah Erevin only had two things: that the core has to be within 20 amos of the ground, and the mavid's entrance has to be less than 10 amos wide. So all we have to tell you is to make it smaller on both ends, make it less than 10 amos wide, and make it below 20 amos tall. Okay, that is the answer for the Lashonos in the Mishnah over there in Erevin. Now the Gemara says, Minan Amile, where do we know that a sukkah, that the schach is higher than 20 amos, is going to be pasul even midoraisa? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Damar Karabba says the first opinion, there's going to be three opinions over here, Leman yedidu rasechem kibusukos shafti es bnei Yisrael, so that the future generations will know that I caused the children of Israel to dwell in sukkos. This is teaching us that we have to be aware that we, leman yedidu rasechem, that we have to know that we were saved in sukkos. We're going to discuss, the Gemara is going to come out to this, Hamshech and Amar Beis, but that means the basic understanding, the most basic level of an interpretation to this pasuk is that you actually have to know what Hashem saved us in. We're going to get to that. I think in Yodid Alf over there, later in the Gemara, we're going to mention that we have to know, is it sukkos mamash? Is Hashem take us out literally in huts? Is that we're commemorating or we're celebrating? Or we're celebrating the Anana Kavod, the clouds of glory that Hashem took us out, and the miracle of the clouds of glory, all the things that used to do. In the Midbar, that is what you have to remember. And here, you actually have to know, Laman Yedu, you have to know what you're doing when you walk into a sukkah. So the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation of Laman Yedu is that not just you have to know the purpose, but actually you have to understand that you're in a sukkah. So therefore, this additional level of interpretation is teaching you that besides the idea of the actual what we're commemorating, you also have to know that you're physically in a sukkah, and only until 20 amos a person is realizing that he's in a sukkah. So however, if the schach is higher than 20 amos, in Adam Yodeh Shudar B'sukkah, a person is not aware that he's b'chal in a sukkah. He doesn't realize he's in a big house. Where is he? I don't know where I am, because the eye doesn't notice above the schach so high, and therefore it is puzzle. That is the explanation according to Rabba why it is puzzle. Interesting, dealing in the Achronim discuss where do you measure it from? Should you measure it from the ground 20 amos up according to this interpretation, or maybe you should actually measure it from one's eyes? If you measure it from one's eyes, then maybe that's the level where it should be puzzle, because lo shalta be'ena, only from the eyes up, so my eyes should be there from there 20 amos. Very interesting discussion in the Achronim lefi Rabba. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Zera said, we learn it differently. From a different pasuk, the pasuk says, V'sukkah tiyeh letzel yomam mechorev. The pasuk in Yeshayahu tells us that a sukkah will be for the shade in the daytime from the heat. This pasuk is telling us, when we're discussing a sukkah, that specifically the nature of a sukkah in the schach is that it's supposed to provide shade. So therefore, Adam Yoshe Betzel Sukkah. So up until 20 amos, a person sits in the shade of a sukkah. However, if the schach is above 20 amos, and Adam Yoshe Betzel Sukkah, a person is not sitting in the shade of a sukkah, Ela Betzel Tefanos, rather, he's only in the shade of the walls, not of the sukkah, and therefore you're not sitting in the shade of a sukkah, and therefore it's puzzle. Rabbi Zera, had a question. He seemed to understand that sukkah is only valid if the schach is the main source of the shade. So the Gemara, Abai asked a question. Abai says to him, Elamato, on the contrary, according to you, how says sukkah bashtros kanaim achanami dilavi sukkah? Now, if you're going to make your sukkah, ashtar kanaim is a type of in between two mountains, Rashi describes it. If you make your sukkah in between two mountains, so if you think where the sun is coming from, where's all the shade blocking the, you know, if you're by a big building, you always have a nice shade because the building is blocking it. So therefore, so over here, the big mountain over here are going to be blocking the sukkah. The shade is not being provided by the sun. You're going to suggest over there that it wouldn't be a valid sukkah because the schach is not providing the shade. Rather, rather the walls of the mountain, or what's providing shade. So if it wasn't invalid, so maybe you're going to say in a chami, yes, it wasn't valid. No, so the Achrona point out, if it really in fact wasn't valid, the Mishnah should have told us to avoid any confusion that any sukkah whose shade comes from anything else other than the schach is going to be puzzled. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't tell us that, it doesn't imply that. So Abai understood that Rabbi Zera would understand, really it should be it really should be kosher. So why is that case any different than something above 20 amos? So Rabbi Zera makes a chiluk. Rabbi Zera says, if you remove the two mountains over there, then what do you have? Ikatzel sukkah, so then you're going to have the shade from the schach of the sukkah. However, over here, in the case of the sukkah, which is the walls, the schach, which is above 20 amos, dal defanos leikat sukkah. If you remove the walls, there's going to be no shade provided by the schach of the sukkah. Rather, the walls of the sukkah are removed, the sunlight is going to, Rashi explains it, they're going to come directly into the schach below, so the schach is not providing you any shade whatsoever. So, meaning theoretically, we're talking about, if theoretically you have a hanging schach above 20 amos, it's not really directly protecting you from and not giving you shade, and that's the nature of what has to be in the sukkah, so therefore it's going to be puzzle. That was the second opinion of Rabbi Zera. Now we have a third opinion of Rava. Rava says we can learn it from the following. Abazuk says, in the context of sukkah, basikos teshu shivas yamim, so a sukkah you should sit for 7 days. The Torah tells us, all 7 days of the Chag, you should leave your permanent houses and go into the temporary house. That's what we're learning from the fact that you should basikos teshvu shivas yamim. How does he learn it from the psukim? Because had the pasuk only said, the summary showed him, had the pasuk only wanted to tell you that you should live in a sukkah, and it doesn't matter how you live in a sukkah, it could be even a permanent structure, we're talking about the schach, we're going to see in a moment, it should have said, teishvu shivas yamin, that you should dwell in the sukkah for 7 days, but dwell for 7 days in the sukkah, because the 7 days is then modifying the word of teishvu, of dwelling. Instead, the Torah is using Lashon Pasukos, teishvu, that you should be in the sukkah dwelling for shivas yamim, that 7 days is seemingly modifying the word sukkahs. So therefore, that's implying that the actual 7 days, meaning it has to be a makeshift structure, has to be something that's not permanent, that is part and parcel of the drasha. So up until 20 amos, a person can make the place he's living in a temporary dwelling. However, if it's above 20 amos, in the most dirasa dirasa rai, a person does not make it temporary. It's very permanent, a massive thing. It's going to be a fixed permanent structure. We hope that things are above 20 amos, stay a permanent structure, and we saw how dangerous it is. What happens if things are not careful? Big buildings coming down. So that is it's considered as something above 40 feet, has to be very sturdy, has to be a permanent structure, for sure, it's going to be something that is considered permanent. A very interesting thing, this Fasemis just points out, why is it that you have this concept that it should be a diras arai on sukkah? So he explains that maybe because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole point of leaving Mitzrayim right away and coming with the Anani HaKavod was to go immediately into Eretz Yisrael. That was the original plan before Chayin HaMeraglim, and then eventually not being stuck there for another 40 years. So the Sfas Emes explains very beautifully that it all was supposed to be temporary. So we're commemorating the original miracle was supposed to be. The Anarchy was only supposed to be there for a short amount of time until we got Eretz Yisrael, then we would build the base of Mikdash, and then potential Mashiach was going to come right away. But since that didn't happen, but we want to go back to the original, so we're remembering it by having a Diras Arai. Very nice pshat. We're having a temporary structure. So now the Gemara says, that we should explain that it's going to be a fixed dwelling above 20 amos. So now the Gemara wants to reject this. The Gemara has a question on Rava. Amar le'abai, Abai said to Rava, el ma'ata. On the contrary, if you're going to tell me that that's true, that it can't be a permanent structure whatsoever, that's not true though. If you make it out of iron walls, extremely strong iron walls, you're going to place and put schach over them, you're going to tell me that that's not a valid sukkah? We don't see that anywhere. The halacha doesn't have any restrictions, any isser with having iron walls or having something, a very permanent structure on the walls. Only the schach is the issue. So therefore, Rava clarifies, Amar Lei, Rava responds back to Abai, Hachi Kamina Lach. This is what I was going to tell you. Ad Esrim Amma Abba until 20 Amos to Adam Osa Dirasu Dirasarai. So it's a maximum height a person can make his temporary structure. Ki Avilei Diras Keva Nami Nafik. So even though it's below 20 Amos, You can make the structure with iron walls. That's also going to be mutter. The essence, the whole issue over here is that it should be done in a fixed manner. Making it above 20 amos, that's what creates the shame that it's keva. However, it's less than 20 amos, you can use whatever type of structure you want. However, lamala mesrimama, if it's above 20 amos, to adam os diras diras keva, that already in nature is something which is more of a permanent structure, then ki avid le diras arai, then if a person is making a sukkah, even if you were using temporary materials with that above 20 amos, still, namilo nafik, a person is not going to be able to fulfill his obligation because you already made it be'etzim, a structure which is considered permanent. Okay, so now the Gemara, turning out the next amud over here, the Gemara wants to know why the three Amoraim disagree with each other. So the Gemara says, Kulak Rabba lo Amre, so Rabbi Zeir and Rava disagree with Rava. Learned out that we should learn it out so that Laman Yedu, that person has to be aware that he's singing in the Sukkah. So you can't be at 20 amos, you're not going to be aware. So the Gemara says, why? Because of who you deal with Dorasi. What is that? We explained that this was, even Rabba's going to be modet, that this is an additional level of interpretation. The Pashup shot of this Pasuk is Laman Yedu Dorasechen, that the Klal Yisrael should know that we have to know what's the mitzvah, what are we commemorating the Klal? That's the Pashup shot. So therefore, if that's not the case, there's an additional level of interpretation, we're not learning that Rasha. So Rabbi Zeira Nami Lo Amre. So and Rabba and Rava disagreed with Rabbi Zeira because again, Batuka Tziel Etzel Yomam, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, because Hahu Limosa Mashiach Udichsim. That Pasuk in Yeshayahu is reference to Yimosa Mashiach when that according to Rashi that the Amoraim that the, it's going to happen. The Jews are going to sit under a sukkah. And it's going to be for shade, meaning it's going to be pleasure and it's going to be very peaceful. They're going to need nothing, rather, Rabbi Yochanan explains that they're going to be nothing other than protection from the elements, that there are going to be no enemies, nobody's coming to bother them. It's going to be a very peaceful and pleasant time. So we await that time, Be'ezer Hashem. So anyway, so that's why they don't explain like Rabbi Zeira, because that's talking about Yemos Mashiach. So now the Gemara asks over Rabbi Zeira, but according to Rabbi Zeira, what is he going to explain? Why? How is he going to explain himself that at the end of the day that this pasuk is referring to Yemosa Mashiach? It's interesting. I'm going to point out that wait a second. Why don't we ask how Rabba is going to explain himself? Apparently, the question wasn't as strong on Rabba over here. Rabbi Zeira, that's a much stronger question. The Bichal is not even talking about the sukkah nowadays. He's talking about Yemosa Mashiach. So the Gemara says, "Im kein, no, if you're going to tell me that it's nothing to do with the present day halachas, so lema krav v'chuppa tiyel tel kamam. The pasuk should say that a chuppa should be made in the daytime. The word chuppa, that implies something that's covering and protecting from the sun and the rain. So clearly, using the sukkah, why my sukkah tiyel lomas? Why is dafkis in the lashon of sukkah? It must be shema minatarta. We can learn from it two halachas. First is that in the most Mashiach, Hashem is going to make a structure that's going to provide the, from the elements, like the Rav was saying, and you don't have to worry about anything else. And the second thing is that the fact that sukkah itself is providing shade. We are learning halacha from that pasuk. We can learn two halachas from that pasuk. So now the Gemara goes to the third opinion, and Kirava Nami Lo Amri. So why did Rabbi Mizera disagree with Rava? Because Mishum Kusha De Abaye, because we saw before already, Abaye had his question with the sukkah built with metal walls. And apparently, even though Rava was able to answer that question, they thought that the question was still strong enough to explain that at the end of the day, a permanent structure less than 20 amos, I don't understand the difference. If something is a permanent structure, it's a permanent structure. What does it matter if it's less than 20 amos, above 20 amos? If you have a beautifully permanent structure, it would be an issue. So that is the opinion of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira disagree with Rava. Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Kiman azla had amr Rabbi Yoshia amr Rav." So according to who does this follow? Rabbi Yoshia saying in the name of Rav, machlokes b'shein defanos magias laschach, that the machlokes the Tanakam and Rabbi Yuda is only going to be when the walls of the sukkah do not reach the schach. And while the funnest begins the schach, if, you know, you could have a lot of times the walls are being, the schach is being overhung by something else, you don't need the walls to go all the way up. So that is when Rav says that there's a machlokas. However, the funnest begins the schach, if the walls reach all the way up until the schach and are totally holding up the schach, then above 20 amos is going to be valid. So then we're going to ask, come on, according to which shita does this opinion of Rav, again, we have three shitas in Amoraim, which shita of the Amoraim does this shita fit into? So the Gemara says it must be Kirava de Amar Mishum de Lashalta Be'ena. They came with the Defanas Begilaschach, Mishalta Be'ena. So what's going on over here? They're saying that the opinion is going to follow Rava. He said that the Tanakama said that more than 20 amos is puzzle because a person doesn't notice it, but the eyes don't notice it, you don't see it. So now, since over here the walls reach the Schach, so then a person is going to notice it, you're going to look up and see the Schach, and therefore it's not going to be an issue. So that is the understanding of Rav. So another Gemara says another thing. Kaman alza adamar Rav Huna marav. Now, which is this statement that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav? Machlokas b'shein ba'ela arba amos al arba amos. That this machlokas of the Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda is only going to be when the area was only dafka 4x4 amos. The interior area was only 4x4 amos. However, aval yesh ba'yosim arba amos al arba amos. But if you have an area of the sukkah which is an interior of more than 4 amos by 4 amos, afilu l'malo ba'esrim amos kshira, the Tana Kama would agree that a sukkah even higher than 20 amos is going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, come on, who is this opinion? So the Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Zera, this is going to be an opinion of Rabbi Zera, Damar Mishum Tzelhu, that according to Rabbi Zera, that the whole issue is shade, so that would be why it's explained that it's going to be an issue only if it's specifically only 4 amos, but if it's more than 4 amos, not a problem. The Kiva de Ravicha, since the sukkah is very spacious, you have more than 4 amos, you have 5, 6, 7 amos, Eka Tzel Sukkah, because you're still at the end of the day going to have schach that is coming, that the shade is going to be coming from the schach of the sukkah, because if you just do basic understanding of increasing a sukkah, then obviously more shade is going to come from above, and if it's more than 4 amos, then you'd be sitting in the shade of the sukkah. Now the Gemara says a third teaching in the name of Rav. Kiman azah adam Rav Yochanan bar Rav Amar Rav. A third opinion of Rav. Now machlokas b'she'ena machzekas ela kidei rosh of Rabbi Shulchana. That this the machlokas between Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda is only where the sukkah is able to fit someone's head and most of his body in the table. Machzekas yosher makdei rosh of Rabbi Shulchana. If you can fit more than the table and most of your body in the sukkah, afilu l'malo ma'esrim amakshir. The Tana Kama would agree that a sukkah is even higher than 20 amos going to be kosher. Come on. So now who does this teaching go according like? Delo kichad, that it must be that this teaching, this svara, doesn't seem to fit in to any of the Amoraim that explain why 20 amos is invalid. It doesn't seem why none of their shitas would fit in that explain why this should be kosher according to even the Tana Kama. Because the schach is no more noticeable and provides no more shade, and the sukkah must be built in no less permanent manner. So if the sukkah is slightly larger than 7 tefachim squared, so therefore Rav Chanan must have had another idea that we don't know. That's what Rashi explains. Tosa suggests maybe that, well, what is the svara? Tosa can't leave. You can't not have a svara. What's the reason of the Rav Chanan saying over here? So they held that maybe it's because it resembles a lul. It looks like a chicken coop, which is tall and narrow. Therefore, that might be a reason why it's not designated as a sukkah. You would have thought it's not a sukkah, therefore it's puzzle. Okay, the Gemara now continues. Bishlam ad Rabbi Yoshia. So now we're learning Rabbi Yoshia. He's going to argue the pligia ad Rav Huna v'Rav Chanan bar Rabba. I understand why he disagrees with the explanation of Rav Huna Rav Chanan bar Rabba. The inu kiyave shira b'mashcha, because they give a shir of the sukkah's length at the point between the argument between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. V'iu lo kayayev shira b'mashcha. Whereas he does not have a measurement of the sukkah's length as a point of the machlokas. Ella Rav Huna v'Rav Chanan bar Rabba. But what is Rav Huna v'Rav Chanan bar arguing? Nim b'hefshe sukkah minflagi. All they're arguing is what shear is the legal shear which is going to make a shear kosher. Demar sefer hefshe sukkah bar amos. According to Rav Huna, maybe that the dimension you need to have for sukkah is 4 amos. Demar sefer hefshe sukkah b'machzekas rosh v'ruba shulchanu. And Rav Chanan bar Rabba, he's going to understand that the minimum shear for sukkah within the area that is able to be able to have and within that area, a person's head and most of his body on and his table over there. So the Gemara rejects this. No, the Gemara says, lo. Everyone's going to agree that the legal, that his shear, what is the minimum shear for a sukkah, is an area that has one's head, body, and the table. So here, what is Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar arguing? Disagreeing? The Marsa Mechzekas Rosh Rav Shulchanah Pligi. For Rav Chanan bar Abba, he's understanding that the Tana Kama and Rebbe are arguing where the 20 amos tall sukkah is only has one's head and most of his body on the table. Aval Yosim Rosh Rav Shulchanah. However, if the sukkah holds more than one's head and most of his body on the table, Divrei HaKol Ksheira, then everyone's going to be of the opinion that it is valid. And Rav Huna is going to understand that the Tana Kama and Rav Yehuda are arguing in the case of sukkahs measuring anywhere from the area that can be from one's head and most of his body and the table up until an area of 4 amos. However, if the sukkah is measuring more than 4 amos, Divrei HaKol Ksheira, then everyone's going to agree that at that point already it's going to be kosher. Now the Gemara has a question on Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Abba. The Gemara asks them both of them. If we have a sukkah which is above 20 amos, that's the same way. This price is the same so far as our Mishnah. That's the Tana Kama in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Masher ad 45 amos. According to this, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutter up until 40 or 50 amos. And Tosafot says, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's a very tall shear, and it's lavdaf even higher than 40 or 50 amos. So the Brisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda explaining his shita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Maise beholni amalka balut. So once incident with holni amalka, Rashi explains in Bava Basra that holni amalka was someone from the Beis Chashmonai, and her son Munbaz was one of the Chashmonaim Malachim, one of the kings of the Chashmonaim. Many others explain that no, she was a, I think she was a Kioris, She converted with her son Munbaz. They live somewhere in the north of Israel. So either way, whoever she was some sort of tzaddikas. Shaisa sukasa gavah ma'asrim amah. It happened that her sukkah was above 20 amos. All of the chachamim used to visit her because she's very chashiv. They used to go in and out of her sukkah during the period of sukkah. And they never said anything to her. So this is assumingly a raya for Rabbi Yehuda that the rabbanan held that it's not an issue. So the Gemara says, so amru lo misham raya. What are you trying to bring a proof from there? Isha haisab teremina sukkah. So Holni Amaka was a woman, and she's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So therefore, even if it was theoretically possible, they wouldn't have said anything to her because they didn't care because she's not really chayav in the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger has a big tzarachim. He says, wait a second. If according to the way we understand, like many Rishonim, like Tosas or Rabbi Tam, and many of the Rishonim, that a woman is allowed to make a bracha, and maybe she even should, not just allowed, she should make a bracha on a mitzvah, eseh shazman grama, a mitzvah that she's voluntarily doing, like sukkah or lulav or any of those mitzvahs, or any shofar, any mitzvah that she's voluntarily doing, she should make a bracha. So how can you tell me over here that they didn't say anything? She's going to be making a bracha levatala, a very serious isser, according to many Rishonim, it's an isser d'oraisa. So Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves as tzarachian. The Chacham Tzvi says, Enechan, I mean, this is a proof. Chacham Tzvi was, well, he's interesting. He was a Rav of the Sephardi Kilab, but I'm pretty sure he was Ashkenazi. So he says, Enechan, I mean, this is a bomb proof, a strong proof, like the Sephardi we showed him with the Rambam and the Rif, that woman should not make a bracha on mitzvah aseh shazman grama. And he says, Akirikach, he did not let his woman, his daughters and the people, his wife, he did not tell them to make a bracha. He followed the Sephardi Pesach for this halacha. He thought that they're right based on this Gemara. Such a strong question. Okay, fascinating. How do we deal with the answer? I'm not sure. That's a very good point from the Rabbi Kiviger's question. And Chacham Tzvi wanted to even pass on the halacha l'maisa, but again, it's Bigur Shonim on the other side. So the Gemara says, either way, so Amar Lan Aguda said to the Chacham in response, "Valo Shiva Banim Avula." Holni had seven children were with her, so certainly on the side of the children, she had to be machmir because there were boys. Valo Kavaisa Losa El Pichamim. Not only that, she used to do everything according to the Chachamim. So Lama Lo Mistev Veod. So now the Gemara just interjects for a second before bringing the whole proof. The Gemara says Lama Lo Mistev Veod Kavaisa Losa El Pichamim, that she did everything according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says Halchi Kamar Lahu. So Rabbi Yehuda was saying this to the Chachamim. Ki Somer Banim Ktanim Hayu. You're going to tell me that her sons were just they were below the age of bar mitzvah. So what's the problem? Ketanim patur min sukkah. We know that ketanim are patur min sukkah. No, the Gemara says, came in the shiva, she had seven boys. You want to even tina that they were all below the age of bar mitzvah. Okay, so she was very firm. She had a lot of children back after back, one after the other. So still, that came in the shiva, yeah, actually, the love of chadmon, she ain't no tarach l'ima. We know the gedder of a person who no longer needs his mother for all of his needs. That's the Gemara is going to say that in Chavches over there, that a person who no longer needs his mother is considered chayav in chinuch, you're chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch, of training herself to start doing the mitzvah. So the Chachamim wouldn't have let her do the chinuch improperly for the children. You're going to tell me that, okay, that's only derabanan. She wasn't so machmir in these derabanans. No, she doesn't pay attention to derabanans. Tashma, everything she did was according to Chachamim. She would have done the mitzvah of chinuch properly. So therefore, it must be that this too was done improperly. So now, okay, Rabbi Yehuda was bringing Raya from Holni Hamaka. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Hemshech of Bishlam and the Mandamar and get back into Holni Hamaka. Also have a nice Sa'ara about women and Chinuch. Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to that Be'ez Hashem tomorrow in tomorrow's daf.